Joyality.
The Holy Quran states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِالنَّبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if there comes to you a fasiq, and we'll explain what that means in a moment, a fasiq comes to you with some information, then investigate.
Exactly.
Right? Investigate. Look at why this person has said it. Look at where the information is
coming from. He might be truthful. Now, he might be lying.
What is a fasiq?
There are three different interpretations here to the fact, actually. And this is one of the meanings is that a fasiq meaning a person who is a liar. Person who fabricates. The second meaning is a person who is unjust, unreligious, undevoted. The third one is a person who is trying to cause, you know, catastrophes, trying to cause problems and whatnot.
Perfect. I'm saying that there are people out there, right, who know certain media institutions, certain governments in the world are fasiq, are completely fasiq from top to bottom, and yet they're not recognizing that the media that those governments and those people are creating are going to have their ideologies in them. And therefore, our job is to investigate.
Yes.
Our job is not to accept anything at face value.
Another thing to keep in mind is that we should never let our guard down. Why? Because ideology is so important. It's the reason why you move. It's the reason why you act in this specific manner. For example, a father of 5 children. He sees that it is an obligation, a responsibility, a task upon him to wake up in the morning, to go to his job, to bear with his boss, to, you know, bring in the bread at the end of the night, to make sure his children have something to eat. Why is that? Why does he do this? Why does he take so much insult from his boss? Mm. Why does he handle this situation with patience? It goes back to what he believes in.
Mm.
Because he believes that there is a responsibility on his shoulders towards his children. These principles are so important for our daily life and our lifestyle and our hereafter. If these principles are shaken, if these principles are taken away from us, if our true Islamic teachings are taken away from us, then we will fall astray. And that comes the importance of religion and teaching religion. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the alim, a true knowledgeable person, is a person who exits the people out of misconceptions into knowledge, out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of knowledge. What are you doing here? You're bringing up the problems and misconceptions. You're putting people in what? In darkness.
Exactly.
When you have your identity as the most important thing, and you see that your identity is being conflicted with these ideas that are coming from social media, it is very important for you to analyze, to look at why it's coming towards you, to see and research more. Does it really conflict or not? And if it conflicts, what do you do? ضربوا عرض الجدار. Throw it on the wall. Leave it alone. Banish it. Abolish it. Abandon it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, aid us in this. It's very, very, it's very scary now at times. It's difficult. It needs time. It needs patience. It needs, you know, especially for the missionaries, you need, you know, sa'atu sadr. You have to have, you know, an open chest.
I think that's a really good place to close the show, inshallah. Let's not speak unless we actually have knowledge about something. And I'll tell you one thing there as well. I found that people actually, they actually do have respect for you when you say simply, I don't know.
Because you're not lying, you're not tricking them.
There's no shame in that at all. But yeah, it's been a pleasure and honor to be speaking with you, Sheikhna. It's been educational.
Thank you very much as well. We benefit from you.
We hope to have you on the show again.
Inshallah.
Here at Back to Reality.
Inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك لتصي دليلتك Once again.
Our
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected elders, brothers, sisters, may Allah reward you for your good intentions in participating in this majlis of aza and of mourning. We're told that one of the titles of Imam Sajjad alayhis salam is that he was known as Bukka. Bukka is someone who is not only baki, baki means that somebody who weeps, but bukka is somebody who weeps excessively, frequently, to the point where they become associated with that title of weeping. And we're told that in one hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that in history there was five people who were known as the bukka. One of them was Nabi Adam alayhi salam. One of them was Ya'qub alayhi salam, one of them was Yusuf alayhi salam, one of them was Fatima bint Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the fifth one was Imam Ali ibn Hussein. So imagine that in all of history, in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is one of those people, the top five in terms of how he was weeping. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam led a life where he faced a lot of difficulties. He was a weeper. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can look at that and understand it at a shallow level. And we say that, okay, he was weeping because he was sad and he led his life in a state of mourning. But if we go deeper, we can ask ourselves this question, that what was the purpose of all the mourning of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam? All of you, I'm sure, would say that, well, we know that Imam Sajjad had a duty to convey the tragedies to the people. So one of the ways he did that is through the tear, right? When people would see him crying, then they would say, why is he crying? They would find out about what happened in Karbala, and then the word would spread. That was definitely one of the purposes behind the mourning of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. But tonight, I want to look at it a little bit deeper. And I want to dive into this concept of what does it mean to be truly mourning for the tragedies that befall the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And then I want to go back to Imam Sajjad and see if we can understand something deeper about his life. So what I'm going to do is I'll take two ayahs of the Quran that come from two different stories. And each one of these ayat talk about grieving. Because we want to understand this from a Quranic perspective. What does it mean to be in a state of grief from the perspective of the Quran? So the first ayah, it is from Surah At-Tawbah, and it has to do with the incident of the Hijrah. Our Prophet was forced to leave his home. He had to migrate. It was a very difficult and precarious situation. And now he is going towards Medina. Now you know that along the way, there was somebody who decided to accompany him. And in history, there's some different reports about why and for what purpose. That's not our concern right now. What we want to do is we want to go to the ayah of the Quran where Allah is describing the incident of the two people who are in the cave. One of them is our prophet and the enemies are surrounding them. It's a very difficult situation. So here, Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. This is in the context of the Battle of Tabuk towards the end of the Prophet's life. And Allah is speaking to the people around the Prophet. He's saying that if you don't want to come to the aid of the Prophet, if you're scared, if you feel that you're going to not be victorious, then I'm going to give you an example from past. One example that should be clear in your minds. So Allah is going back to an incident that took place years back. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the Prophet was forced to leave his home by the disbelievers. And then what happens? That إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. When they are in the cave, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When he told his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. He told his companion, meaning our Prophet told the one who was accompanying him in the cave, do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us. Now, if somebody looks at this ayah, and they only look at this ayah, and they ask the question that, what does the Quran say about grieving? Is it good for us to be in a state of grieving? Should we be sad about something that has taken place? The answer would be no. Because the Prophet is commanding this person in the cave, he's saying, لا تحزن. Do not grieve. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with us. But we all know that when it comes to understanding the words of a wise speaker, it's not enough to only read one verse or one page. Right? Let's say, for example, a wise person sends you a letter, and the letter is 20 pages long, and then you just pick a page in the middle, and you say, you read that, and you say, okay, I understand what he's trying to tell me. That's not fair. Right? You have to look at all the words of that wise person. So, we know that there are other places in the Qur'an where Allah talks about mourning and grieving. But definitely in this ayah of the Qur'an, Allah is saying that this type of grief is condemned. What type of grief is this? It's a type of grief of somebody who is worried about himself and worried about what has happened to his possessions that he's left behind, what's happened to, like, who's going to take care of things behind him. He's worried about what the future lies. He's worried about whether the promise of Allah will be fulfilled. In that case, the Prophet is telling him that, look, don't be sad over what might happen to you. Don't be sad over, you know, the separation that you're going to have from your hometown. Right? It's okay. Right? We're doing this. It's God's instruction. We're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. So don't be in a state of grieving. Now, what we can understand from this is what? That there's a type of grieving where Allah is absent from that type of grieving, which is condemned in the Quran. You're not supposed to have that type of grief. So keep this in mind. You know, this is something in tafsir of Tasneem of Ayatollah Jawadi, he says that the Prophet didn't just say this once to the person who is accompanying him. The way that the Arabic appears in the ayah of the Quran indicates that the Prophet was repeating this frequently as a way of consoling him and getting him to stop being in the state of sadness and grief. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. So this was the way that the Prophet was teaching him how to get out of his state of grief. So that's one ayah of the Quran. Now, there are other ayahs which similarly look down upon grieving. All of you are familiar with the story of Nabi Musa when he was born. His mother, who has a lot of love for her baby, she cares for her baby so much, Allah tells her to take your baby and put him in the river and let the water take him away from you. But, لَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Right? Don't be scared, and don't let your grief of separation overcome you. Once again, Allah is saying that in that case, you shouldn't be in a state of grieving. Now, it's raising questions for us that what kind of grief is this? Right? Why is it that Allah is telling you not to grieve? Right? Is it that He's telling you not to be a mother? All mothers would, even if it's not a matter of putting their baby down a river and not knowing what's going to happen. Let's say something even less than that, right? They're just separated from their baby for whatever long time. Most mothers, or all mothers, naturally, they'll feel that pang of separation. Right? It's something that Allah has placed in them. Clearly, this is referring to some other type of grief.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم
عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل على
Chair defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
The lugubrious ambience of Muharram has already descended upon the streets of Iran, where the soulful beats of drums intertwine with mournful chants, casting a somber spell of contemplation over the nation. Citizens adorned in black attire gather in processions, their faces etched with expressions of deep sorrow, paying homage to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions. With the arrival of Muharram, the entire country has transformed into a canvas of grief, where the echoes of lamentations and the sight of self-flagellation seeks to keep alive the sacrifices made for the sake of truth and justice more than 13 centuries ago. Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar, a time of profound significance for Muslims worldwide. It is the beginning of a new year, a time of introspection and commemoration of pivotal events in Islamic history. This sacred month serves as a reminder of the sacrifices made by those who upheld the values of justice, faith, and unwavering devotion. In the early days of Muharram in the year 680 AD, Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, alongside his loyal followers, faced the overwhelming forces of the Umayyad Caliph Yazid in the desert of Karbala. Despite their numerical inferiority, Imam Hussein and his companions stood firm in their principles, refusing to compromise their beliefs and choosing to sacrifice their lives for the preservation of justice, truth, and the legacy of the Prophet. Hujjatul Islam Muhammad Taj Abadi, a religion researcher for over 20 years.
Abu Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salam.
History teaches us that Imam Hussein refused to submit to tyranny, to demonstrate that we have the ability to resist tyranny and oppression with courage and dignity. He illustrated that we can oppose oppressive authority regardless of the size of our or their forces. The crucial message is to not stay silent in the face of injustice and oppression. This is a significant lesson that can be learned from the events of Karbala.
This event, marked by immense courage, unwavering faith, and unparalleled sacrifice, has become a testament to the enduring spirit of resistance against oppression and a source of inspiration for Muslims worldwide. In the words of the English novelist Charles Dickens, "If Hussein had fought to quench his worldly desires, then I do not understand why his sister, wife, and children accompanied him. It stands to reason, therefore, that he sacrificed purely for Islam." Centuries have passed, yet Imam Hussein's name continues to resonate with Shia, non-Shia Muslims, and even those beyond the confines of the Islamic faith. His martyrdom has ignited numerous uprisings against unjust rulers throughout the Islamic world, with the most recent being the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran that toppled the oppressive regime of Mohammad Reza Shah. Hujjat al-Islam Ali Akbar Shahrami, a religion expert based in Tehran.
In what ways does Imam Hussein's teaching and legacy resonate from individuals from diverse backgrounds other than the Islamic faith?
ببینید حرکت امام حسین علیه السلام یک حرکت آزادی خواهانه است.
Look, Imam Hussein's movement was a freedom-seeking movement by nature. True, it dates back over 13 centuries, yet his movement sparked an extraordinary discourse of resistance. Even esteemed leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, who himself inspired movements for civil rights and freedom worldwide following his successful anti-colonial struggle in India, regard Imam Hussein as their spiritual leader. Imam Hussein's movement was truly a revolution and a wellspring of inspiration for generations of revolutionary figures across the world.
In Iran, the observance of Muharram holds a particularly meaningful and profound place. The country's deep-rooted connection to the Shia tradition is evident in the extensive commemoration of this month. Mourning rituals, processions, and spiritual gatherings are prevalent throughout Iran as the nation reflects on Imam Hussein's legacy and his struggles against oppression.
Hujjat al-Islam Dr. Sayyid Jalal Razavi Mir, who teaches both at university and seminary, has more to say about the story of Karbala.
قیام امام حسین علیه السلام یک قیامی است که باید سه رکن رو برای او متصور بشیم.
Imam Hussein's uprising rests on three pillars. The first pillar involves intellect, making a rational decision to resist oppression and challenge the pressure from the wealthy, powerful, and armed. The second pillar is bravery displayed in the deserts of Karbala, a true epic tale of having the courage to confront overwhelming power without fear. The third pillar is love and compassion associated with the story of Karbala. In our religious literature, there is a well-known saying, "Verily, in the hearts of the believers lie a love for Imam Hussein that will endure forever." This saying has stood the test of time. Even after more than 13 centuries, people still commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein with love and unwavering enthusiasm, regardless of the circumstances.
The mourning rituals, celebrated with remarkable grandeur, hold a revered position in the collective consciousness of the nation. Each distinct ritual conveys messages of self-sacrifice, relentless pursuit of justice, and steadfast devotion to God. Throughout the country, Iranians gather in mosques, Husseinias, and public spaces to participate in these religious and cultural practices. In Iran, passion plays known as taziyeh are performed during Muharram to reenact the events of Karbala, while processions and mourning rituals are observed with deep reverence. These rituals and traditions have become integral parts of Iranian culture, passed down through generations. They contribute to a sense of national identity and heritage, connecting Iranians to their religious and historical roots. The symbolism of Imam Hussein's sacrifice is often invoked in political discourse to inspire resistance and mobilize support for causes deemed just and righteous. Through this commemoration, the Iranian people reaffirm their commitment to these core values, which continue to inspire and guide their collective struggle for freedom and self-determination.
Imam Hussein is indeed a school of life. His noble life should not be limited to a specific reading. The lesson he imparts is relevant throughout life. His love and care for his family, relatives, followers, and society is unparalleled. It could serve as a model for all of us. Imam Hussein had a black servant. In Karbala, when the enemy army surrounded Imam Hussein and his companions, he said to his black servant, "You are free to leave. You should have been with us in times of joy, not at times of war. Go and save yourself. It is time to fight. I do not want you to sacrifice your life for my beliefs."
Meanwhile, the practice of providing free meals known as Nazri has become a commendable tradition amongst various communities during Muharram. These meals are primarily distributed amongst the underprivileged members of society, exemplifying the spirit of compassion and charitable giving. While some benevolent individuals prefer to outsource the preparation of these meals to restaurants or catering services, the act of coming together with relatives and neighbors to cook and distribute the nazri is considered a laudable gesture, fostering a sense of community and strengthening social bonds. Moreover, Muharram is not merely a time for individual mourning, but rather a period that encourages the unity and cohesion of the entire society. It serves as an opportunity for people from diverse backgrounds to come together and reinforce the significance of social unity. This collective observance of Muharram transcends sectarian divides, underscoring the importance of harmony and mutual understanding within the community. We have a lot more to cover today, but let's just take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the news section of this program here. We'll go over some important news headlines. Tehran Times, Rudaki Open Air Theater hosting Taziyeh performances in Muharram. The Rudaki Open Air Theater in Tehran is hosting performances of Taziyeh, a traditional Iranian passion play, starting from Sunday and continuing throughout the first 10 days of the lunar month of Muharram. This significant event marks the commemoration of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, who is mourned by millions of Muslims during the Muharram rituals. The Sayyid al-Shuhada Taziyeh group, directed by Ahmad Azizi, will perform every night at 8 p.m. for 10 consecutive nights. The Iranian passion play Taziyeh was registered on the UNESCO list of the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity in November 2010. Taziyeh represents religious events, historical and mythical stories, and folktales. Each performance has the four components of poetry, music, song, and motion. However, stories about the uprising of Imam Hussein and his companions against the oppressive Umayyad dynasty in 680 CE are more highly regarded by Taziyeh troops and audiences. Performers are always male, and female roles are played by men, most of whom are amateurs who gain their living through other means but perform for spiritual rewards. It is a kind of drama that depicts the event of Ashura and is performed in Mahu, Chargah, and Shur Baghdad reliefs of Iranian music. Ikna, Imam Ali Shrine covered with red carpets ahead of Ashura. As the day of Ashura approaches, the courtyards of the holy shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf, Iraq, were covered with red carpets. Ashura marks the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, and the color red symbolizes martyrdom. Haydar al-Isavi, an official with the Astan custodianship of the holy shrine in Najaf, said over 25,000 square meters of the courtyards have been covered with red carpets. He said an integrated plan has been implemented at the mausoleum of Imam Ali to host mourners in the first 10 days of the lunar Hijri month of Muharram. He added that more than 100 mukibs, booths providing foods and drinks to pilgrims, have been set up to serve the pilgrims. The Astan has equipped the mukibs with air conditioning and provided drinking water, detergents, and etc., he stated. According to Ali Savi, the Astan seeks to provide the pilgrims and mourners with the best services. Iran front page. Najafis in Iran's Qom mourn Imam Hussein's martyrdom by torch-carrying rituals. Every year on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of the month of Muharram, on the Islamic calendar, Najafi residents of the Iranian shrine city of Qom carry torches as a symbol of mourning for Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam and the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, who was martyred along with 72 of his companions on the plains of Karbala. The black-clad mourners who hail from the Iraqi city of Najaf gather at Imam Reza Mosque, and the mourning procession moves towards the shrine of Hazrat Masumeh, the sister of Imam Reza, the eighth Shia Imam, to offer their condolences. They carry the traditional torches that symbolize the fire that burned the tents of Imam Hussein's loved ones and companions on Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram in Karbala, Iraq. Shia waves. Imam Hussein Holy Shrine launches free internet access during Muharram and Safar. The communications department affiliated to Imam Hussein Holy Shrine has announced it is providing free internet service for visitors in the area between the two holy shrines and the surrounding areas of the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein around the clock during the months of Muharram and Safar. It is worth mentioning that the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein has mobilized all efforts to receive millions of mourners, in addition to intensifying its technical and technological efforts through the communications department, which is working diligently to secure various services for the departments of the Holy Shrine of Imam Hussein and the visitors. ABNA, 100 Quran exhibitions to be held across Iran during Muharram. A total of 100 Quran exhibitions will be organized in leading gatherings of mourners during the lunar months of Muharram this year, an official said. Quranic exhibitions will be held over 100 leading gatherings of mourners during the months of Muharram and Safar. Hojjat al-Islam Majid Babakhani, head of the organization that oversees the mourning gatherings, told a press conference on Sunday. These exhibitions, titled Quran and Resistance, present Quranic concepts through art, pictures and posters, he added. We cannot mention the Ahlul Bayt without also referring to the Quran, nor we can discuss the Quran and ignore the Ahlul Bayt, he said. Programs have been organized for Muharram mourning processions to be immersed in a more Quranic atmosphere, noted the official. This includes both the aesthetic use of Quranic themes and art and engaging with Quranic verses and concepts to help mourners become more familiar with selected verses, he added. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please stay tuned for the main narrative. The 10th of Muharram, known as Ashura, is a day of profound significance in the Islamic calendar. It marks the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, and his companions at the Battle of Karbala. This event is a poignant reminder of the importance of standing up for justice, even in the face of overwhelming adversity. On Ashura of 680 AD, Imam Hussein and his 72 companions were slain by order of Yazid, the despotic Umayyad ruler of the time, as they refused to swear allegiance to him, whom they considered corrupt to the bones. The family of Imam Hussein was taken captive and brought on a tour around Kufa and Damascus. Hujjat al-Islam Dr. Mehdi Montazer Qaim, a religion expert who also teaches at the University of Judicial Sciences and Administrative Services, put the story of Karbala in context. He said Imam Hussein was on the way to Kufa when he was barred from moving on by the army of Yazid. The people of Kufa had written Imam Hussein a letter explaining their plight to him. In the letter, two crucial points had been made.
One issue related to the widespread financial corruption among the authorities of that era. Another concern was the oppressive style of governance. Regarding the financial corruption, the officials were misappropriating public funds for personal gain. This resulted in a widening wealth gap in society. The affluent were becoming wealthier while the underprivileged were becoming poorer with each passing day. In reference to the second point highlighted in a letter addressed to Imam Hussein, the residents of Kufa lamented that the ruling regime at the time lacked the support of the people. The governing system was in place without obtaining their consent. In essence, the rights of the people had been violated in both financial and political aspects.
The commemoration of Ashura has been a key element in shaping the identity of Shia Muslims, emphasizing principles of sacrifice, resistance, and standing up against oppression. Dr. Montazer Qaim said although there were many reasons for Imam Hussein to rise against Yazid, there was one special issue that had made him so determined to do so, social injustice.
حکومت یزید اشکال‌های متعدد داشت. اصلا یه اشکالش هم این بود که
Yazid's way of ruling was problematic in various aspects. Firstly, it lacked legitimacy. Imam Hussein was the rightful ruler of the Muslim community, not Yazid. Therefore, Yazid was considered a usurper. However, when Imam Hussein chose to oppose Yazid, he did not cite the illegitimacy of Yazid's rule as his reason for uprising. Similarly, he didn't cite Yazid's corruption and immoral conduct as a driving force behind his move. What truly motivated Imam Hussein to confront Yazid was the absence of social justice in society. His action aimed to champion the rights of the people.
To commemorate Ashura is to honor the courage to confront evil in all its manifestations at any cost. As the renowned Scottish historian and essayist Thomas Carlyle aptly observed, the best lesson which we get from the tragedy of Karbala is that Hussein and his companions were rigid believers in God. They illustrated that the numerical superiority does not count when it comes to the truth and the falsehood. The victory of Hussein, despite his minority, marvels me. Meanwhile, the annual commemoration of Imam Hussein's martyrdom in Karbala, Iraq, holds great significance for millions of Muslims worldwide.
Despite the sweltering temperatures, many Iranian devotees, along with others from the rest of the world, have been converging upon the sacred site of the Imam Hussein's burial place, which is revered as one of the most hallowed destinations in the Islamic world. Hujjat al-Islam Mehdi Muntazir Qaim shared his reading of Enjoying Good and Forbidding Wrong in the context of Karbala.
Imam Hussein,
what did Imam Hussein do when faced with this situation in society? I mean the corruption of the authorities and the systematic injustice in society. He aimed to reform society. He famously said that he had risen up to reform his grandfather's ummah. So in this sense, Imam Hussein was a reformist. How did he want to undertake reforms? Through what has been mentioned in the Holy Quran as enjoining good and forbidding wrong. This is a duty all Muslims are called to perform in the Quran. Imam Hussein sought to enjoin the ruling system to do good deeds and forbid again the ruling system from doing bad deeds. The point is the target of Imam Hussein's reforms was not ordinary people, but the ruling system, because it's the ruling system that has a direct huge impact on society as a whole.
Imam Hussein's sacrifice at Karbala has left an indelible mark on the hearts and minds of Muslims worldwide. His absolute commitment to the principles of Islam, his refusal to submit to tyranny, and his willingness to give his life for the sake of his faith have made him a revered figure in Islamic history. His legacy continues to inspire generations of Muslims to uphold the values of justice, compassion, and resistance against oppression. As we turn the pages of history, resonances of the past reverberate in the present, as seen in the plight of Gaza's oppressed people rising in defiance against injustice, mirroring the valorous stand of Karbala's martyrs. This unyielding quest for liberation symbolizes the timelessness of human aspirations for freedom, echoing across centuries and geographies. The events of Karbala and the ongoing situation in Gaza both involve themes of struggle against oppression, sacrifice, resistance, and the pursuit of justice. The story of Imam Hussein's stand against oppression and injustice in Karbala resonates with the struggles of the Palestinian people against the occupation, displacement, and systematic violations of their rights. At the same time, by reflecting on Imam Hussein's sacrifice and commitment to justice, individuals can empathize with the Palestinian experience and stand in solidarity with their quest for freedom and self-determination.
Imam Hussein's movement conveys a clear message: resist oppression and stand up for the oppressed against the oppressor. Despite the enemy wielding enormous power in the deserts of Karbala, Imam Hussein refused to surrender. A well-known saying attributed to Imam Hussein is, "Far from humiliation." This phrase has become a rallying cry for various resistance groups in the region from Yemen to Lebanon. Drawing inspiration from the events of Karbala, this phrase has become ingrained in the Shia culture. They will never beg for mercy from their enemies, even at the cost of their lives. "Far from humiliation" defines the conduct of Shia Muslims towards their adversaries. This resistance narrative, initiated by Imam Hussein, has proven to be triumphant throughout history. Today, Imam Hussein, his family, and his companions are revered by millions of Muslims worldwide.
The teachings and legacy of Imam Hussein hold universal values, attractive to individuals from diverse backgrounds. His willingness to sacrifice everything, including his life, for a noble cause embodies qualities of courage, selflessness, and dedication. Imam Hussein's defiance of a tyrannical ruler and refusal to submit to unjust authority can be seen as a timeless lesson in standing up for one's beliefs and challenging oppressive systems, principles that are relevant to people regardless of their religious affiliation. The narrative surrounding Imam Hussein's companions who stood by him in his struggle highlight the importance of unity, solidarity, and support for one another in times of adversity.
In the story of Karbala, there are characters of various ages and ethnicities, yet they are all united in their support for their leader. From an old woman like Wahab to the black servant of Imam Hussein, there were 17 old men among Imam Hussein's companions. but they all fought bravely to defend their leader against the enemy. This unity and solidarity are crucial when facing oppressive powers in our time.
The story of Karbala is indeed a rich and complex narrative that holds deep significance for many people. It is often interpreted in various ways with different layers of symbolism and meaning attached to it. It is seen as a struggle for justice, truth, and standing up against tyranny and oppression. Through contemplation and reflection on the events of Karbala, individuals can draw lessons about principles such as courage, loyalty, and resistance against injustice. The story has inspired countless people over the centuries and continues to be a source of spiritual guidance and reflection for many.
Last but not least, Imam Hussein does not solely belong to us. He is a leader for all humanity, a guiding light for all freedom-seeking individuals worldwide. For those who strive for justice for all, we should not claim him exclusively for ourselves. Imam Hussein surpasses all sectarian and ethnic divisions. Let's aspire to be genuine followers of him through our actions.
That's all for today. Thank you. Please do join us again same times next week to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. It is a pleasure to be with you.
The pleasure is all mine. Well, we actually are in the month of Muharram, and we are recording some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei regarding Muharram and Imam Hussein and the mourning for, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy and pure family. And we'd like to continue actually along the same line on the same very subject. Sheikh Sawid, let me start with this question, about actually azadari or matam and mourning and the manner, Muslim people in general and Shiite in particular are holding convening Muharram rituals and conventions, basically. What is the purpose of holding these, events and ceremonies?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, it is important to understand that commemorating the event of Ashura is highly recommended, and it is considered to be tantamount to respecting the sha'air of Allah, or the signs and symbols of religion. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So this is a verse from the Holy Quran. And there's no doubt as to the fact that holding ceremonies and commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, the grandson of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family,
yes, is
one of the sha'air of God, one of the symbols of religion. So imagine how effective and instrumental these commemorations are in resuscitating the tree of Islam. In other words, such commemorations do inject fresh blood into the veins of the Islamic Ummah. Such commemorations indeed teach the Ummah lessons of sacrifice, dedication, and devotion. So let's not forget that there is no doubt that the tragedy of Karbala, when it is attributed to the killers, there is no doubt that it is a criminal act. It is one of the most heinous act committed in the human, in the entire human history.
Mm-hmm.
So the event of Karbala, when it is in fact ascribed to Imam Hussein himself, it definitely represents a conscious confrontation, a conscious encounter, and actually a courageous resistance for a sacred cause and a very holy objective. Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam embarked on a journey from Medina to Karbala to fight evil, to fight injustice, and prevent the destruction of the religion of Islam, his grandfather's religion,
mm-hmm.
brought forth from the heavens.
Yes.
So it was at a time when the whole nation of Islam had failed to stand up to a person, a drunkard like Yazid, actually. They had succumbed to his will and to his dictatorship and to deviation, of course,
right.
The nation of Islam. So Imam Hussein, seeing the regression towards the pre-Islamic era, embarked on this revolution only to save the nation of Islam and to put the religion on the right track.
Right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram and Imam Hussein. And in particular, before the break, Sheikh Javid, we talked about the manner that our people, in fact, both, Muslim and Shiite in particular, hold the ceremonies and rituals related to this month, to this holy and solid month. Is there anything left about the month of, the mourning ceremony, as well as the purpose of holding such ceremonies?
Yeah, well, of course. When it comes to the purpose, I was trying to make a point, and then that was, now imagine what would happen if Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was passive,
yes,
like other people. Now, inaction and passiveness by Imam Hussein in that very particular situation, mm-hmm. would have meant the end of Islam, or the,
yes.
the destruction of Islam as we know it very well. So Imam Hussein took upon himself the responsibility of the whole nation.
Right.
So the greatest tragedy was that one who stood up for the noblest causes, which was obviously the defense of Islam, was cut down in a cruel a manner.
Yes.
So it is for this reason that the sacrifice of Imam Hussein is commemorated annually by Muslims across the world. And our sorrow indeed on the sacrifice, on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein والسلام, never abates, and because this every year we see that Muslims across the Islamic world, across the world indeed, remind themselves of the tragedy that right. occurred 1,400 years ago, and the commemoration of Ashura indeed on the 10th of Muharram every year serves to remind us of the sacrifices of the family of the Prophet, and it also makes us aware of the people then and now who tried to destroy Islam and the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. And all that they stood for, as well as those who watched and listened and did nothing. So we are reminded of all these things. And I have a concluding point here. The whole purpose or the concept of mourning during Ashura is indeed to respect. So this is the main point, to respect the symbols of religion and remember the suffering of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, and his uprising to defend Islam and prevent the destruction of the religion by the Banu Umayyad dynasty. Mm-hmm. So it is necessary to narrate the story of the sacrifices and listen to those who narrate this event. The aim is to learn lessons from this great event.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Send me to Karbala, leave me there. Leave me there. What's there?
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Muharram based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, we all know that, it's quite widespread and it's very common among the Shiites and even some other denominations of Islam. They go to the mosque and they listen to the lectures and sermons given by religious scholars about this, sad month and about the brutal martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Holy Prophet. But sometimes it's good to know some of the characteristics, some of the personal traits of Imam Hussein, because we all listen, for example, to the stories and the tragic event that happened, in fact, in Karbala at that time. But it's good also and more appropriate maybe to ponder upon and contemplate some of the characteristics of Imam Hussein, especially addressing the youngsters, the youth, they need to know some of the traits of Imam Hussein. What are those traits that they need to know?
Well, of course, there are different aspects of his character which we need to know. Basically, if we want to know Imam Hussein, there are two kinds of understanding. We come across people who just know Imam Hussein by name and by his father's name. So this is just a nominal understanding of the chief of the martyrs.
Yes.
That's not enough. We need to have profound understanding of the life, traits, attributes, and virtues of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And the goals and objectives behind his revolution. So the understanding should cover all aspects of his life and his character from the day he was born until he was martyred brutally by his enemies. Now, it is said that when Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was born, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family took the child in his arm, and of course, and there was a feeling of sadness, grief, and also happiness. Mm-hmm. And of course, some of the people around the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, especially the ladies, they were astonished seeing the Prophet. Why is the Prophet so sad? And you see, and he is actually the Prophet was crying at that time. And there were ladies, as it is reported, according to some reports, Asma asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, why are you crying, O Messenger of Allah? You know, the child has just been born, and we wonder why you are crying. Of course,
normally people are happy about the birth of a child.
It is an occasion where in which everyone is supposed to be happy, but the Prophet, there was a mixed feeling of happiness and sadness at that time. So even the Prophet is reported to have wept, and when asked why you are weeping, he said that I weep for the day when my grandson will be brutally martyred by some people, and those are the people who will never gain my shafa'ah. Mm. I will never intercede them. Mm. And he actually prayed that my shafa'ah will not benefit them. Mm. There is no shafa'ah for them.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell, and please keep us in your du'as and supplication wherever you go, especially when you go to the mosque and weep for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his close and loyal companions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein. Hussein Aba Abdillah, ya manhaj yukar Allah. Hussein Aba Abdillah, karak abad ma ninsa. Hussein Aba Abdillah, ya manhaj yukar Allah. Hussein Aba Abdillah, karak abad ma ninsa.
My aid I do send, to your call I'll stand, ready to defend till the very end. For this faith I'll fight, it's the greatest plight. I'll give all my might, I'll serve day and night. Imam, to your call I will give my all, and if my legs fail me, to you I'll crawl.
Hussein Aba Abdillah, ya manhaj yukar Allah. Hussein Aba Abdillah, darak abad ma ninsa.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.